Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, I thank you for this job that you bless me with. Will you take me to another level? From glory to glory, please take me to another level.
Radio. My name is Roger Charlie from here, Okotoks of Beta Canada. It is cloudy and muggy, I would say. It is warm out there. You can't see the sun, but it is quite muggy. This is Zambia Block Talk Radio, August the 16th, which is Saturday, and the year is almost over. We just started the year, but the year is over. So if you are not careful, you might be lagging behind. So in today's broadcast, we are going to revisit. Last week, we started with a big meeting which happened in Washington. President Obama hosted a group of African leaders. A good number of them came to Africa. And a lot of promises were made in that discussion. And a lot of things came out. We want to continue to zero in. What can we pull out of that meeting? What should we do to attract, to make sure some of those things which happened did not only happen in Africa, as most people want to address the issue of Africa, as if Africa is one country, but we want to zero in what can those promises, what do they mean for Zambia? And when we talk about Zambia, we are talking about the whole entire country. So we are going to zero in into a lot of things. In the next broadcast, we are going to talk about what is happening in Ferguson, Missouri. Those are disturbances. The young man who got killed. Why do we have this problem when the cops see a black person, they see trouble? On the flip side, how can we ourselves reduce that kind of tension, that potential of putting ourselves into this kind of situations? How can we do that? We cannot change, of course, we cannot change our color. That will never happen. Can we change anything? Do we need to change anything? We are not sure. We are going to discover that in our broadcast. But first, we are going to start with our main discussion of the day. That is the U.S. Africa leadership meeting, which happened in Washington. Let me welcome some of the people who are here with me. Majesty, how are you?
Good morning, Maroja. How are you? The weather here is overcast too. It's cloudy and warm. So, I mean, I think we have the same weather like you have in Canada. I always enjoy when you start your program. I always enjoy when you start your program, you give us a report about the weather there, you know, so I'm doing good, brother.
Yes, the weather is so bad here. What else can you start with? It is usually bad, so you are forced but to start with the weather. Brother Zebron, how are you? Okay. I think this is Zebron's number.
I'm up. Sorry.
Okay. How are you?
I'm good, man. Today is my birthday, so I'm having a lot of calls coming in. Happy birthday. Like, guys, leave me alone, man. You should have been calling me happy birthdays at night when I'm free, you know?
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Well, it's a birthday, so you can't blame them. We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, Mr. Roger. Thank you.
Okay, so I hope you are going to be with us in our discussion.
Yes, I'm
Minnesota. Titus, good morning.
Hey, Zebron. Hello, everybody.
Thank you. Thank
okay.
You.
Yes, thank you, Titus. I'll be coming to you, and I hope you are going to stay with us. Ms. Lucas, how are you? Good job
morning.
On that discussion. It helps my heart to settle down to know that I'm not the only one who is fighting Lusaka. So I'm very happy for that today.
Good morning, Roger. Yes, Mr. Banda was a special guest for you. I said this is a present for you. Zambia is not Lusaka, and Lusaka is not Zambia.
That's correct. Until we sort out that equation, we will still be talking about copper should go to some other country. But once we sort out that equation, a lot of people in the rural areas, they'll find out what to do with copper. Thank you for that. Dr. Monsanje, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Roger. How is the Okotox?
Okotox is a nice cloud cover there. This has been beautiful summer. For almost 2 months now, it has always been sunny and no doubt in the weather. So it's been good. I don't know about Pennsylvania.
In Philadelphia, we are doing very well. It's a very wonderful weather today. It is neither hot or cold. We are looking forward to the discussion that which you put up. Where is our copper going? I want that copper to be developing in Namwala, places like Namwala.
Yes. That is what we should find out. 50 years, our country is coming to 50 years. We haven't figured out what to do with our copper. That is really surprising. But I guess today probably we can come up Others who will be joining us, they are going to find the program well in advance. Namunji, I think he's just listening. If you want to say anything, Namunji, press 1 and it will show me that you have something to say. So today, gentlemen, I want us, I was hoping Dr. Patrick was going to be with us this morning. That way I can, there is one question I really wanted him to answer. I'll check some numbers still coming here. 412 is this Brother Simbaya again? Brother Simbaya, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Thanks.
Yeah, I was off. I wasn't there when you started, so I'm kind of a little bit off.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay. I mean,
so from last week.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll come in when you talk. Like, give me 5 minutes or so.
Yes. 317-1467. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yo, good to hear from you. I thought about you. Actually, I shouldn't say this on air. But I'll just call you. Manahanda, how are you?
Okay. Fine, and how are you?
It's been a long time. It's been a long time, my sister. Okay. So let's start, Dr. Musanje, our discussion this morning. I want to tell you, I'm going to leave your mics open. As long as there is no noise, your mic will be open and you can jump into the discussion. But if there is disturbances in your background, then it is closed. I wouldn't even know that you are trying to jump in and say anything until I call you. So if you maintain your nice, good, quiet background, your mic will stay open and you can jump in as often as you want.
Last week again,
President Obama hosted a meeting in Washington, and in that meeting they were urging the African leaders. They were giving us what will happen in. I'm going to shut down the mic. Already I'm having problems. I'm going to see which mics are giving problems, then I can shut them down. Okay, so the meeting was, let me just give you a small background of what we did last week. This is one of the clips. Joe Biden is telling the businessmen in America to show up in Africa. Listen to this, and then we'll come to the Obama clips.
Since 2010, non-oil exports from sub-Saharan Africa to the United States have almost quadrupled. I see no reason why, and this is not hyperbole, I see no reason why trade and investment between the United States and Africa should not double or triple or even quadruple in the decades ahead. But to get there, each of us has a whole lot of work to do, and no one knows that better than the people, particularly the heads of state sitting in this audience. To start, American businesses have to show up. My dad used to say to me,
So American businesses have to show up, and they are going to be showing up in Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, my question is going to be, how are we going to attract these American businesses to show up, to go to Africa and do business with us? Let's listen to some of these advisory people who have Obama has selected, who are going to be, so to say, advising him. And I was, like I said, I was wishing Dr. Patrick was here so he can tell us some of these people who they are and what they are going to be doing. But listen to this. This is Obama's address.
Including our U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman, USAID Administrator Raj Shah, and our new head of the Millennial Challenge Corporation, Dana Hyde, President of the Export Import Bank, Fred Hochberg, Director of the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, Lee Zack, and our President and CEO of OPEC, Elizabeth Littlefield.
Okay. But Simbaya, these high-level people, I'm not sure if you have any idea. How are we going to attract, first and foremost, do you even have an idea how we can go to these people and talk to them? The African representatives. Do our people know? Oh, these are not just there for the news. We are not even supposed to be there.
Yeah, I think that to be honest with you, I used to talk to my brother who was an economist. He was in England for some time and got a PhD. Hmm. So he used to tell me some other stuff. He passed away now. He used to tell me some other stuff that, you know, the problem with Africa, what he told me is how we think. He really emphasized on our thinking. He said all these things you're seeing is a result of what you think. The way you dress is what you're thinking. The way you act is what you're thinking. The way you're walking is how you're thinking. Because if you think like you are beautiful, you walk a certain way. If you think you are dull, you walk a certain way. So everything else comes up from your thinking. So to me, I think that we at this point where I don't think we are set up yet. You see what I'm, even the foundation to make a foundation to attract these people, because I remember that something must be there. You see what I mean? For the fly to be there, there must be some smell. You see what I mean? So the fragrance that we give as Zambians, fragrance to Zambia, ni fragrance in she Americans wakati mwa Zambia ngawaya. But we're sharp. If you say 10 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. If your president says this, he shows up. You know, those are the smaller things our friends look at. But if even those things were not even there, we still be lagging behind. Yes, they will come. But we'll still be lagging behind, like the brother was saying, technology. Simple things, the internet. To make internet, the government can make internet easy for everyone to tap in. You see? Musaka or whatever. Yaba wireless. Musaka mwine. If you have a laptop, just tap in and do whatever you want to do. That's attracting business. But we don't want to do these simple things. You see what I'm trying to say? To prepare for these people coming or investors, we just talk and talk and talk and talk. That's what we do. We are good at conferences. We are good at talking with intellectuals. But to do something about what you're talking about, we are not good. Conferences we can have, like in Zambia. We can have conferences. We can talk. We can write pamphlets and books and bury them. But to be practical and say, look, we need to do this. We need to put internet. I want to buy Asia. People are coming. Chinese, whatever. We need to have the internet. We need to have this. It must be cheaper. So that anyone at home can log in and see what Zambia is doing or what we have, what we don't have. But we don't, there's no access to information. That's one other thing. So I like
your approach, access to internet, and we probably are going to have an endeavor on this summit. Facebook, for the first time in the entire world, has chosen Zambia to have free access to internet. Is on Google and Facebook. We have been selected.
Wow.
We are going to have a seminar on this. How can we jump on that? This was launched, I think, this year. What are the implications? What does this mean? I think this is where what you are talking about. And we need to do our best to begin to approach secondary schools in Zambia, to begin to approach a lot of businesses in Zambia, to know that their phones now can control a lot of things. It is free internet. It has never happened before. Facebook has done that in Zambia. Dr. Munsanje, what is your line of thought? Do you agree with Bwana Simbaya here that we are not ready for the investors to come to Zambia?
I totally agree. We are not ready in the sense that even if these investors come, how can we approach them? What kind of business can we do with them? You know, you are talking of the businesses that people have to have capital in order to get into those businesses. It is a partnership that we are looking for. We are not looking for handouts or some aid. I actually want to remove the word aid into partnership. So that is what I think that we are not yet ready. We need to develop our infrastructure. We need to do business in a way that there's a trust between the people doing the business, the investor and the Zambian. There should be some trust. Now, we have not developed a culture of trust. Most of the time, the other person wants to cheat you out of your money. If the product is like $10, they will even double it, make it $20, and they want you to pay $25 in order for you to get that. Now, we need to move from that kind of position, because that is where how development is not, it doesn't come through. The deal just collapses because you are asking for $25 for a product for $10. So in the end, the person does not buy it or does not engage. So we need to be truthful. I think that is the word I was looking for. We need to be truthful in our business. And then we have to identify the types of businesses that we want to do. For example, I'm thinking of the healthcare business. We need labs like LabCorp, which we have here, Quest Diagnostics, in order for those businesses to be able to evaluate your sickness. It is not always malaria. Sometimes it's just the lack of some vitamins in your body. And those results needed to be coming from a real lab, which can do some scientific documentation. All those kind of businesses. So we need to put up a number of businesses that we want to engage and to partner with these Americans.
Good. Dr. Patrick, it's good you have come, and our discussion is long today. I had one or two clips which I wanted you probably to, alongside, to show us the way, so to say, Obama's team, these people, what are they going to be doing? What do they do? Listen to this clip. I had played the wrong one for no reason. I think it was for the reason to wait for you to come by. And how can we have access to these people? I really don't want to concentrate today or on the politics, why America is doing this, why they haven't done this. But these things have been mentioned now, and I would like us to run with them. How can we take advantage of them? So, Dr. Patrick, listen to this clip about Obama's team he works with, and please tell us how we can get advantage of them or access to these people, because we want a lot of the development Dr. Munsanje and Bwana Simbaya is talking about, and even Obama talks about in the later clips to come. So listen to this, Dr. Patrick, and then comment.
Including our U.S. Trade Representative Michael Froman, USAID Administrator Raj Shah, and our new head of the Millennial Challenge Corporation, Dana Hyde, President of the Import Bank, Fred Hochberg, Director of the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, Lee Zak, and our President and CEO of OPEC, Elizabeth Littlefield.
Dr. Patrick, these people, is it possible for us to access these people?
Yes, most definitely. And I was trying
to... Let me begin by saying good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I tried to feverishly write down the names and the organizations that they represent.
I can repeat the audio if you want me to.
Yes, please do.
Okay. Let's listen to the team again, and then Dr. Patrick is going to give us some insights. Ladies and gentlemen, write their names. We may have to call these people at one point. Who knows?
Yes.
Including our U.S. Trade Representative, Michael Froman, USAID Administrator Raj Shah, and our new head of the Millennial Challenge Corporation, Dana Hyde, President of the Import Bank, Fred Hochberg, Director of the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, Lee Zack, and our President and CEO of OPEC, Elizabeth Littlefield.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if you have managed to get one of the names. Okay. Go
okay,
ahead.
Okay. The last one, the next to the last one, Lee Zack, what is his organization again? I got everyone else.
We can play it again. It's only 25 seconds. Let's do it.
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
Including our U.S. Trade Representative, Michael Froman, USAID Administrator Raj Shah, and our new head of the Millennial Challenge Corporation, Dana Hyde, President of the Import Bank, Fred Hochberg, Director of the U.S. Trade and Development Agency, Lee Zack, and our President and CEO of OPEC, Elizabeth Littlefield.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Excellent. All righty. I'm writing an article, and the article has to do with whether or not you want to be rich or whether or not you want to be wealthy. And it's basically circling around the idea of having someone come into your country and invest in your country, and at the end of the investment, the riches of the country will leave. Now, you as a person will become rich, but you'll never become wealthy, as opposed to a person coming into your country, becoming a partner with you, and training the trainer so that when the foreign investor invests in the country and he leaves or she leaves in 3 years, you will have the expertise to continue the business. You will have the trade connections to continue the business. And instead of being rich, you become wealthy. So having said that, let's look at the five individuals that were named, and we should keep these names and look at how we can approach them. If you have a international or if you have a business and you're looking to partner, and remember, this is the difference between handouts and partnerships. So if you want to establish a business with a U.S. firm, and you have if you are already engaged in business, meaning you've already sold your products regionally or internationally, and it's a small business and you're looking to expand, then you would go to the USTR, United States Trade Representative. And at the United States Trade Representative, what they will do is they already have companies lined up. They call fancy food companies, but these are already established companies. So you can engage with them, with USTR, and USTR will connect you with a U.S. firm, and you can enter into a partnership. However, it would be incumbent upon the African entrepreneur to include into their program that train-to-trainer program, because it won't be offered. You have to engage and discuss and include that into your overall package partnership. So USTR, United States Trade Representative, also know where you're coming from or where they're coming from. The United States Trade Representative is interested in trade that benefits the United States, not trade that benefits Zambia or Angola or Mozambique. So So therefore, you have to make sure that the partnership is a 50-50 arrangement. And in order to work with USTR, you have to have in place prior experience with marketing, prior experience with a business plan development. So you're coming to the table with equal or comparable business acumen. That's USTR. Now, if you want handouts, there are many programs. Yes.
Just stop right there, and I hope, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell the listeners online and those that are on, you have a paper with you. This is exclusive information which we are getting. It's not just by another Saturday. You listen and you go. We may need to have access to these people. So very, very quickly, Dr. Patrick, go back into that line of the USTR, that is the U.S. Trade Representative. Please, Dr.
Yes.
Patrick.
Yes. One, you must have a business plan. Two, you must have already experience in the business field, meaning that you've already sold products regionally or internationally. Three, you must have a niche, meaning that you must have a particular product that is well-liked and well-appreciated and well-wanted. And also, if it's an agricultural product, it must meet the U.S. standards and regulations. So, and if you have all of that lined up, then you go to USTR, and USTR will match you with a U.S. company that's looking to expand into an African country.
Excellent. Excellent, Dr. Patrick. Excellent.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
USAID?
Go ahead. Second one.
Okay.
USAID.
USAID, if you want to get a grant or if you want to be assisted, not particularly with respect to partnership, then you would go to USAID. Now, USAID, again, it's United States, which means that you will have to dance to the United States music in order to get that particular grant or in order to get their money. There are various departments within USAID that has a lot of money that's interested in investing in in African countries. What needs to be done is you need to review the USAID programs and then identify the program that matches or marries with your particular business. The key for USAID, and this is why it's important to engage the governments, the respective governments, because the quicker way to get money from USAID is from your government to the United States government. If you have somebody in the Ministry of Agriculture or Ministry of Commerce or the Ministry of Trade and you're working with them, then you contact the director of USAID, and they said is Rasha. And then from Rasha, and you have the backing of your government, you identify the particular USAID program, or you say this is what you have, this is what you want, and USAID will identify a program. Now, bear in mind, it is a United States program, so they will send their officials into Zambia to set up a program, and you have to go to whatever program that's being set up by USAID. You'll get the money, but you'll have to dance to their music. So that's USAID. It's more grants.
Mm.
Okay, so it's not a business type of partnership. It's more of a United States government type of partnership. Okay, for MCC. MCC is definitely government to government. many countries have engaged already in MCC. MCC stands for the Millennium Challenge Corporation. It's a United States government body. It's unique in that they will give you millions of dollars, they being the MCC, they will give you millions of dollars, and they will not tell you how to develop your program. They will give you the money, and you develop your own program. This is government to government. What's happened is many governments or many African governments and many governments outside of Africa in Eastern Europe who have received Millennium Challenges have identified, and Zambia has, I believe they have two. I'll look it up before the program is up, but I think Zambia has two Millennium Challenge compacts, meaning awards. And what they do is the respective government identifies an excellent writer. And this excellent writer will pull together a package and present it who have experience in writing Millennium Challenge grant proposals. And they will write it for the government. The government will submit it to Millennium Challenge. And if it's an excellent writer, the Millennium Challenge will award millions of dollars to the government. Now, here's the rub. The writer has nothing and has no idea about implementation. So you get the money, and then you're standing there saying, well, how do I implement it? And Millennium Challenge will say, we do not help you on implementing. We may give you advice, but it's your responsibility to implement. Give you a quick example. The Cape Verde. Cape Verde was one of the early countries to receive a Millennium Challenge Corporation compact. So they received the money to develop their seaport, and they received money to develop their inland sea industry. So they did this. And then come to find out what they didn't include in their compact was the roads to get the seafood from inland to the port. So they had to resubmit another compact request. So it has to be well thought out, it has to be planned, and it has to be developed. So right now, I think they've completed, but I think Senegal had received a compact. Yeah, I believe they received a compact to build an import import longshore. So that's the Millennium Compact. I'll look up the information for the compact as to what Zambia holds. So that's Millennium. It's government to government. It's rarely entrepreneur to government. It's always government to government.
Government to government.
And there is experience on applying for Millennium Challenge compacts in Zambia already. That you can look up and find out what's the status of it. The next one is export-import. Export-import is private entrepreneur with private entrepreneur. However, the private entrepreneur with the private entrepreneur partnership is not small and medium size. It's big companies that have already experienced export, imports, or marketing at the regional level or at the multi-regional level. And export, import, the only thing they're concerned with is giving you money so they can get the interest from the money. So what they do is, say I'm a Zambian and I go to export-import. I have a business that is pulling in maybe $2 million a year, but I have a proposal that could expand or grow my company to bringing in $20 million a year. So what I will do, I go to export-import. Export-import will identify a United States bank. And you go to that bank with export-import behind you, approving your particular proposal, and the bank in turn will give you the loan that you need in order to expand your business. So Export-Import does not have any money. They are similar to the insurers of banks. You know, you're assured to have X amount of money. That's what Export-Import, the assurance backed by the government to the banks to say, tell the banks to give you the loan because Export-Import is backing you. U.S. Trade and Development.
Go ahead.
Ready for U.S. Trade?
Go ahead.
Yes. U.S. Trade and Development. U.S. Trade and Development, it ranges from medium size to large businesses. And what they will do is they will sit down with you and map out a plan on expanding your particular business. But again, this is a United States federal agency. So in order to engage in trade, you have to bring in the government. And when you bring in the government, what we're looking at is your customs, bringing in products and importing products as well as exporting products. And they will try to marry your export-import arrangements as well as getting your products to the market in the United States. So they are more on the import-export level. Again, all of the products that we're talking about, if we're talking about agriculture and food products, you have an extra tier in which you have to meet. I think it was Dr. Musanje that talked about a laboratory. Well, in the laboratory, there are medical devices. And in those particular medical devices, you have to make sure that they have met the U.S. standards. You don't want to be dumped on. A lot of countries and a lot of shady businesses, they want to sell you inferior equipment. They can't be sold or purchased in the United States. However, they go market shopping or port shopping, and they sell those particular products to unsuspecting developing laboratories in developing countries. So you have to be careful for that. Going to the last one, OPEC. OPEC is an interesting company or interesting organization in that they are the most successful of all of them, being that we're talking about oil and petroleum products. And if you have offshore potential to have oil offshore or gas offshore, or if it's inland and the ground surveys have been done, the United States know where everything is, you know, where the oil deposits is. If the potential for oil development in Zambia, and I believe it is in certain areas because it's close to Angola, and Angola is already invested in the oil.
Zambezi, that area is Zambezi and them, yes.
Yes. Then OPEC is the country to engage, or not country, but the business to engage. However, this is government to government. The individual will not be able to negotiate a deal with OPEC. It would have to be the government-to-government type of arrangement. Now, the people that own the land can profit from it, but going back to what I said earlier, there must be a partnership arrangement so that when the development occurs, the monies will be distributed equitably. Yeah, you can still get wealthy, but yet and still you want to be wealthy and you want the countrymen, the people, to become rich.
Yes.
This the problems that occurred in Nigeria in the Delta area is a problem that one should not want to repeat in Zambia, which is there's a lot of rich people, yet and still the inhabitants that live in the area where the oil is being developed is not going. They're not getting the money.
That is
now.
That is happening as we speak. Dr. Patrick, sorry, as we speak, that is happening in Zambia, in Northwestern Province, where a lot of our copper is mined. If you went there today, you wouldn't even at a minute agree that $4 billion worth of investment is coming in that region. But thank you for the insight. And for the people who are here today, I hope you're taking note of what Dr. Patrick is going. He has a lot of inside information. So we are having access to a lot of inside information which we may not know. And once you know those routes, so to say, then you can probably do business with the United States. In our next question in our next segment, and then now we are going to be zeroing in, ladies and gentlemen, on how, probably listening to what Dr. Patrick has said, and how are we going to reach these companies. These are big corporations. President Obama mentioned these are big corporations. How are we going to have access to them so that they can come to Zambia, not only Africa, as mentioned in the program. Africa is not a country, but Africa is a continent. How do we call these people? How do we woo these people to come to Zambia? That is going to be our task this morning. Let me welcome 4435169. Good morning.
Morning. This is Derek. I've been listening to you.
It's been a long time. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I've listened to my fellow doctor discuss the issues underlined. I'm really, really learning. Probably will ask for his phone number because some of the information he has espoused are very, very useful information. I didn't know so much. This is a very, very good discussion, I should say.
Yes, and it will take... Go ahead.
I have a proposal that I've done, a multifaceted proposal on telecommunication, which I've already written. And this proposal has to do with online internet to be on a large scale for the entire country. And his ways of actually explaining things answer some of my questions. Shared capital, because I don't think that the Zambian government is able to actually give me that kind of capital that I'm looking for. But I want to open up a much bigger internet provider so that those technical issues that happen often in Zambia do not take place, either in a rectal field or in the actual online services. So I will be asking for more insight into venture capital and other avenues that need to be explored.
Okay. Well said. Well said, Derek.
When you put together your business proposal, keep in mind that I have millions and millions of dollars, and in your write-up, you're going to sell to me why I should part with my money to give to you. That's what the idea of the business proposal is. So if you want me to invest in your, as an internet provider, online services, make sure you have in your plan how I'm going to, why I should invest in your company and how I'm going to get my money back.
Thank you.
Okay?
Certainly.
Excellent.
Certainly.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, excellent. We are going to continue building our case, ladies and gentlemen. This is one of those typical case studies. You probably might not find it exciting, but make it exciting in your head. This is very important what we are doing today. So now we are going to travel. Let me hear from Titus maybe had something to say. Before we go to the next clip, which is going to be very, very critical in our discussion. Titus.
Roger. I have a question, a challenge. First of all, I think the first time we met Dr. Patrick, I remember myself, I met him in person in Las Vegas. Should be 3 years ago. And the doctor is jam-packed with all ideas and some insight of Washington, D.C. government machinery organizations.
Uh-huh.
First, I can blame myself. Why are we not at that level? I want Dr. Musanje to truthfully answer this. If it is our fault that we have known Dr. Musanje and we cannot move gears, all this information we're listening to in 2014 today, why are we not moving ahead on something? And this is why I opted for Dr. Patrick to have gone to Zambia when there was AGOA. But there was some glitch that happened that he could not go. I think there was a funeral or something. He has knowledgeable things of all these districts in Zambia, but I think he needs to see the machinery there and the officials and any other thing, and maybe even suggest to government. Secondly, I wanted everybody to comment, or even Dr. Patrick. There is also a program that Bill Clinton is running when there's United Nations coming over, when there's United Nations in New York, which he commits to the 50 heads of states for Africa. I just wanted to find out how the programs are different from what Obama did now, whether it's a move forward or it's a replica or they're independent, or how can we merge the two, because Bill Clinton started after his presidency. Thirdly, I think Dr. Musanje mentioned some laboratories in Zambia. I would suggest that together with Dr. Patrick, you should be able to identify what is the foundation that George Bush W. is doing.
Uh-huh.
If you check every July 4th, I don't know this year, but the past 2 years consecutively, Bush was in Zambia on July 4th. Now, Dr. Patrick knows July 4th is a patriotic day for American independence. And I would wonder what a president would be doing in an African country that he did not have any concentration. I know he does sometimes he paints clinics and stuff, but you try to merge that into these laboratories that you're doing, because he might have some money and in connection with Dr. Patrick, to find out how is that lab supposed to be, can it be merged with the foundations that Bush is doing in Zambia. I don't know exactly what it is, but it should make sense to you if some ex-president will be in a different country on an important day. It's as good as having the Zambian president be somewhere else. You start talking that this will be at the independence celebrations. So, nobody complains.
Well,
we celebrate
Titus, our independence in a socialist way. Our friends being patriotic probably does not necessarily mean going to sing with them independence. But you bring out something very important here, Titus. Dr.
Yes.
Patrick and I are going probably to discuss my next visit to Zambia, maybe next summer. And we probably are going to line up a lot of seminars in Zambia. I know people in the offices in Africa or them, they might think they know this information, but they don't, because we want to attract as much business to Zambia as possible. We want to attract as much business to Zambia as possible. And Dr. Patrick, probably being the Washington insider, which is actually a bad thing, but he's a Washington insider, we should take him to Zambia. So next summer, Dr. Patrick and I should be working on that. Pianki, welcome. Let me go to the project which the president has. This is almost, I needed these 2 hours. I really needed it. 1 hour is already gone. Half of our 1 hour, we are going to talk about what is happening in Ferguson. How can we reduce on whatever is happening in Ferguson, Missouri? It's not right. So on the side of the police, like I said in the introduction, there's nothing we can possibly do on our color situation. We always be black people. So if they hate us because we are black, there is nothing we are going to help them. But what are some of the things, probably, as a community, can we do to mitigate living in white society? But let's continue with our discussion. Obama and the new projects. Again, ladies and gentlemen, those who are on the call, write out, there are four projects, there are four things which are outlined into this 30-second soundbite, 43-second soundbite, and we are going to follow through one by one, one by one. What can we do, Pianki, to help us to talk to Coca-Cola to come to Zambia and help run a water situation? I've lived in Canada for the last 5 years. I've lived 10 years in the United States. Not a single day did I experience water shortage in my house. Never. 15 years in North America. I go to Zambia. It is almost on a daily basis. There is no, in the morning the water is gone, you know. So what do you do with the bathroom? And yet Zambia holds 40%, 40% of the water base in Southern Africa. So what is the problem? So please take your pen, write all these things, and Dr. Patrick, Bianchi, and all the good friends here, we are going to zero in. How can we call these businessmen to come and invest in Zambia? Listen to this.
So I'm pleased that in conjunction with this forum, American companies are announcing major new deals in Africa. Blackstone will invest in African energy projects. Coca-Cola will partner with Africa to bring clean water to its communities. GE will help build African infrastructure. Marriott will build more hotels. All told, American companies, many with our trade assistance, are announcing new deals in clean energy, aviation, banking, and construction worth more than $14 billion, spurring development across Africa and selling more goods stamped with that proud label, Made in America.
Okay, I'm going to play that clip again. There was a disturbance somewhere. I don't know what caused it. I'll play that clip again. Listen to the investments which are coming to Africa, and let us make it a priority they come to Zambia. Listen to this.
So I'm pleased that in conjunction with this forum, American companies are announcing major new deals in Africa. Blackstone will invest in African energy projects. Coca-Cola will partner with Africa to bring clean water to its communities. GE will help build African infrastructure. Marriott will build more hotels. All told, American companies, many with our trade assistance, are announcing new deals in clean energy, aviation, banking, and construction worth more than $14 billion, spurring development across Africa and selling more goods stamped with that proud label, Made in America.
Okay. So, Dr. Patrick, I'll come to you later, but when banking came in, you and I know the situation in rural Zambia, so you're going to comment about that. Zebron, what do you say? How are we going to be the champions to bring the American businesses to our country to invest in clean water, especially, and other stuff you will listen to?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks so much. In first place, let me say, Dr. Patrick, thanks for those words. You know, listen carefully. You know, those are powerful words. You know, good advice. What I wanted to say is that I heard what Obama said from the first clip that he played, and then this one, You know, like when it comes to investment in Africa, you know, from what he said, I was actually gonna correct Dr. Patrick. I don't know if he meant OPEC or OPIC, because I think the last lady that Obama mentioned is I think Elizabeth Littlefield. I think she's the director of OPIC. That's I think overseas investment something something corporation. So it's something
you're
to do
correct.
With
You're correct. You're right.
Yeah. So it's more like not OPIC. It's more like I think a company that helps private sectors investment. Pretty much like even Zambians, they can apply to OPIC. I mean, for any investment, and then I guess they can be funded. I'm sure Dr. Patrick can help me with that. But what I really wanted to talk about is what Obama's investment is bringing to Africa. You know, when he says we're going to invest $3 billion to Africa, or GE is coming to Africa, we have to look at ourselves. Like, okay, if those guys are coming to Africa, I want to focus particularly on my country, Zambia. I know Africa is a huge country, but each time I try to focus on my country, Zambia, because when we say GE is coming to Africa to develop new technology in energy, what am I going to look at Africa when they say they're coming to Africa? They may just go to South Africa because they know that they can easily just like start from where South Africa already has and just like go on from there and say, they can go to Egypt where there's good infrastructure. But if you look at Zambia, particularly Lusaka, which is the capital city of Zambia, if you look at the road network, when we're crying for investment, we've had 2-lane roads from Greatest Road all the way downtown. And then now people are buying cars all the time from Japan, from South Africa, and there's so much traffic. So we have no proper road network system in Zambia. So when we're crying for investment, we have to look at ourselves first. What are we doing with our own infrastructure before we invite other people to come and invest? When you know, if we're going to key to Ndola, we have like one lane highway all the way to Kitwe or something like that, I mean to Ndola. And then there's so much road accidents. So we have to look at what do we really want this investment? What we, if because all the money that Obama is offering, it's not like it's going to come to you. No, you have to apply. You have to fight for it because you have about 52 other countries, and then you have to look at the corruption rate. And then what are you going to fight for it? What would be your proposal? You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, we have this. This is what we are doing. We have developed this. Our road index this. We need this to do this so that we can be where we want to be. But if we look at ourselves, we'll just be crying, no, we need investment, we need these guys, we need our copper to be built in Zambia. But if we have our money to start from somewhere and we use that money on buy elections, we use that money on elections and elections, and all we want to do is like, oh, we want that money to do this, we'll just be talking, we'll just be doing workshop, conferences, getting money, getting envelopes on everything, and then nothing will change. But we really have to start doing something, as Dr. Msanja said, like, we have to start doing something, the little that we can do, and say, oh, this is what we've done with the little that we have, but we were asking for what you guys can help us to just, like, proceed from where we've already started. You know, so I just don't want to take much time. I'll stop here.
Yes. Thank you for coming to you, my brother. Namunji, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Yes, sure. It's a very interesting topic. First, I would like to thank the whole panel, including Mr. Patrick, for it's a very informative discussion. Just following on what Zebra was saying, it's very true about the infrastructure, because I kept going back to the summit on CISPAN, watching it again and again. I kept asking myself, like, okay, with all this money, I hear Coca-Cola, IBM, they're going to invest a lot of billions in Africa. My question is, what is Africa? I mean, with this money that has been committed to Africa, what has Africa committed to? What is going to happen, especially considering the corruption in our government, considering the infrastructure like Zebron was talking about, because these investors are going to look to countries like South Africa, the way he's saying, because they already have good infrastructure compared to countries like Zambia and the other countries, Malawi and forth. So I kept asking myself, as Africans, we are excited about all these investors which are going to go to Africa, but what are we going to commit to this big project? Because they're not just going to go and throw out that money to us. They have, they have an interest. Like Dr. Patrick was saying, like if you are making a proposal, if you are making a business proposal to him, you have to explain what the other person is going to benefit from that project or from that proposal. In that proposal, so that's the question I keep asking myself about: what is Africa going to do?
That is deep. That is deep, my sisters and my brother here. Simbaya also talked about it. What is it? Some of this. Pianki, go ahead, and then Dr. Patrick, I'd like you to come in terms of Blackstone. Is it Blackfoot or Blackstone?
Blackstone.
Blackstone is going to be investing in energy. Why they can't to come, according to us, is they can't come to Zambia because we have corruption and poor infrastructure. What can we do about that? Clean water, same problem. But go ahead, Bianchi.
Well, Blackstone provides military weapons. That's their specialty. So I was, as a matter of fact, I think they was in cahoots with Osama bin Laden. So you're talking about bringing them to Zambia?
But, how do you bring in Osama bin Laden in this discussion?
Well, because I've lived a long life. But I'm like the previous lady. My grandson is 17. He's sitting here. He heard that Obama's speech, and I tried to get him to talk to you, Roger. But his question is that made in America, when are we going to have made in Zambia? And that's the question I asked. Coca-Cola is going to bring in bottled water. They're not going to contend to your inland infrastructure so that when you turn on a tap, water will come out uninterrupted. We know what GE is for, and then you got Marriott Hotels. So one of these times, you know, I can sit down and look at a plan, and I'll show you how that plan can be developed and raise the capital in order to get it done.
Oh, wow. Dr. Patrick, here we go. I think I never thought about this. Is Coca-Cola going to be bringing helping clean water, or they will be just bringing bottled water? That is a very good observation. Dr. Patrick, what do you think?
Pianki is correct. And when Pianki mentioned bin Laden, we giggled. But it's very true. The Blackstone, there was a different name. They had a different name. It was Black something, but they are militarists, and they're engaged in bringing arms and weaponry. They're also an organization that has been known for taking out people. So we have to be very careful with what we do with this organization. It has a lurid past, so they have to be suspect. With respect to Coca-Cola, we on Zambia Blog Talk Radio, we talked in the past, a couple of years ago, about getting together an advisory board. I think an advisory board comprised of diasporans as well as Zambians is very, very much needed, because any and all investments that are coming into Zambia from the United States or elsewhere need to be sat down and evaluated. And evaluated in the sense that the partnership is equal. We can get $1 billion, but at the end of the day, if you end up with $100 and the remaining monies go elsewhere, then it's not made in Zambia. It is found in Zambia, but the made in the United States label will always be on the product. With respect to Coca-Cola, you also need a laboratory. Dr. Musanje mentioned this, not only for medical devices. You need a laboratory in order to analyze the sodas. In Nigeria, Coca-Cola had a manufacturing plant in Nigeria, part of Nigeria, but they filled it with so much sugar, it had a potential to lead to hypertension and diabetes, et cetera, until it was analyzed to find that it had that much sugar in it. And Coca-Cola then reduced the amount of sugar in it. So you need to analyze and be conscious of the products that are being brought into the country. And talk about bottled water. Yes, it's bottled water, but we should have a bottling plant facility in Zambia, as well as a system in which you can purify the water in Zambia. So if you have bottled water, the bottled water is a Zambian product that can be sold in Zambia and in the United States. If it can be sold in the United States, then you have something to speak about. So again, an advisory board would address all of this, and that should be the first and foremost. Quickly going to the other points that were made with respect to PEPFAR and AGOA. PEPFAR is a program that was instituted by George W. Bush, and it addresses its title. The acronym PEPFAR stands for President's Plan for AIDS Relief, meaning that pharmaceuticals to address AIDS are brought into the respective country at little to no price. However, you have to be careful to make sure that these pharmaceuticals are potent and not subpotent. There's another thing about PEPFAR pharmaceuticals is that sometimes the PEPFAR pharmaceuticals, even though it's addressing the populace with respect to AIDS, it is also possibly a clinical study trial usage of the particular product. Let me just say with respect to the Millennium Challenge and President Obama, because Titus had mentioned what President Obama is doing when you compare George Bush and President Clinton. President Clinton introduced AGOA. And as you know, AGOA was held in Zambia. So just look at it. The Millennium Challenge is a George Bush program. It started with George Bush. However, the Obama administration has not only built on both President Clinton and Bush's initiatives, he has developed its own tools to develop economic partnerships with Africa. And I can go on and on. Yeah, you're talking about when Congress and the African Diplomatic Corps, President Obama showed that a third country fabric was renewed in the heat of partisan paralysis in the legislative. He went on to develop the whole-of-government approach towards Africa and developing and implementing policy. He's increased threefold Ex-Im. We talked about Ex-Im Bank. He's increased threefold Ex-Im Bank. He also has Feed the Future Initiative. He also has, and we've talked about USTR, USTR's decision to accelerate bilateral investment treaty. That's a BIT. That's their WTO. And I can go on and on and on. So the foundation is there. We just need to access it. And what Zambia has that no other African country has, and each African country has this, is access. Every business, major business in the United States want access to the African market. That's what they want, access. And it would behoove us all is to not sell our access cheaply. If you want to get into Zambia, what are you going to bring to the table? We don't just want investment. We don't just want all this money. What we want is how you going to partner and make Zambia better. I think it was Titus that mentioned earlier talking about the roads. If you want to invest in Zambia, then build roads. If you want to bring in Coca-Cola or bottling water, then build the roads to get there. If you want to invest in Zambia, then have banks in the community so that we could work as well as we can bank in Zambia. If you want to invest in Zambia, if you want to bring all your money to Zambia, make sure that we are partners, because 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years down the line, you will be going somewhere else to invest somewhere else, or you reduce your investment money because you've taken out X amount of dollars or kwacha. What we want to do is when you leave or when you downsize your investment, we want to be able to upsize our partnership so we can continue the business either with the United States or regionally or with Europe or with China. We want to be equal partners.
On bottom of the hour, we are going to be talking about what is happening in Ferguson, Missouri, on the situation there. Very educative, what is happening here. So, Dr. Patrick, very, very briefly, companies like Blackstone, we need an advisory board. I think that is one recommendation, first and foremost, coming here. How do we create such a board, and what do we do? Let's have some action here on the creation of an advisory board. And I think this advisory board, if we created one based in the United States, we can even be approaching some of these officials we talked about with our needs. We, with the advisory board, we can also be advising the Zambian government. What should be the approach, Dr. Patrick? Or should I say, can you probably map up some kind of a suggestion which you can share with all of us who are here, and we are going to share with our friends online, and maybe we are going to invite people. How many people can be in this advisory board? Let's see how it works for one year or so.
The first and foremost thing is that if it's advisory board of the diaspora, it's not going anywhere. What we need is approval and agreement from the Zambian government. We need the Zambian government as well as the Zambian entrepreneurs in country to agree to this advisory board. Once you have that, then we have weight, because if it's just the diaspora, we have no weight. We have all the information, all the plans, all the ideas, and no one is going to listen. And the people that we want to listen is Zambia. And if Zambia is not engaged, fully engaged, that would be the Zambian embassy, the ambassador, straight to Zambian government, the Ministry of Commerce and Trade. If they are not interested, and if they do not have equal leadership and role in it, then we'll be spinning our wheels. That's the only, because the United States want access, and they can't get access through us. They can get access through the government. If they realize that the way they can get access is through this advisory board, then we have much to do and much to contribute.
And if the Zambian government also realize that they can get access through the advisory board to the U.S. government.
Just quickly, if we don't want to go large scale, meaning from President Sata and the ministry, we can go small scale. And we have an introduction. Okay. And the introduction is, do we not have a friend in the mayor in a city in Zambia? It starts with an S. We had him on Zambia. There you go. Did he not offer to partner with us?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And he is willing. Yes, he is willing to convene an advisory board. So you start small. You start with him, with an advisory board. He'll have a number of individuals. The diaspora will have a number of individuals. And the only way you can get success is to show success. So you do that at that level, advisory board, and once you show success, then districts, then provinces, and then governments, I mean the federal level in Zambia will take upon it. But you have to start small, and I think that's the place to start for an advisory board.
Let's not forget this idea, Dr. Patrick, one way or another, as one of those things we talk about on Saturday and leave them hanging. Let's follow through on this one. Let me go to Pennsylvania. That line has just dropped where I wanted to go Brother... That line
while you're looking, Zambia has two. Zambia has a compact, and they also have something known as a threshold program. A threshold program is a smaller program. It's about $5.8 billion around that area. And the Millennium Challenge Compact, you get much more. So there are two Millennium Challenge programs, the Compact and the Threshold Program. So we can look that up later on, but Zambia has two MCC Compacts.
Okay. Thank you for that information. We cry almost every day here. We don't know how the transparency of these things, that's where probably sometimes the problem is. Ms. Lucas, I don't know if you have anything here. You've been quiet from the time you came through. I don't know if you have anything here. But on bottom of the hour, we'll be talking about what is happening close to where you are.
Okay. Thank you, Roger. Yes, I've been listening, and way before you asked us to take a paper and pen, I was writing notes. You should see me. I said, we're in the classroom of Dr. Patrick here. The Zambia Block Talk Radio classroom. So, you had asked a question on how we can have these companies come into Zambia. And Zebron's point really had me thinking, the infrastructure that we have, but also the willingness of the people there too. I mean, Zambians are a great people, but there are times when our mentality can be negative. Someone is willing to help us, and we talk as if we don't need help, and then when that help goes away, we cry for that help. So it's pretty interesting. Back in the day, we used to have, what was that? Zambia bottlers or something like that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had Schweppes, we had Coca-Cola being made in Zambia. So then we sold that to, I think, the South Africans. So with Coca-Cola coming back, would they continue on with the current owners, or would this be Zambian-owned? So those are some of the things I remained thinking as the discussion was going on. But the people have to be we need to have an improved infrastructure, especially with roads, transportation, reliable roads, and also reliable vehicles to take them from one point to another. So those are just my thoughts, not so much a solid comment, but airing out my thoughts.
Yeah. Well done, and I think Namunji, Zebron talked about this, Basimbia talked about this. We don't have the infrastructure. Having said that, we may not end there because we don't have infrastructure, and therefore these people cannot come. I don't think you are suggesting that. But there's one point Namunji said, we have to deal, Pianki, with corruption. Some of these companies may not want to do any business with us because they may face the jury here in the United States if they are committing fraud or corruption in their country. So those are some of the things we have to talk about. Okay, you are back, brother Chisewe. But Chisewe, you are back. Please come in with your point.
Yes, Roger. I mean, I've been listening to our conversation. I don't know. Sometimes when I sit online, I don't know. You can't see me there, but I've been listening to all the discussion. And because of time, let me just put in my two cents idea. And I'm going to go fast. Let me start by saying that, a couple of weeks ago, United Nations came up with an index of who are doing good on human development. And United States ranked number 3, and Zambia is doing good. So Zambian government is listening to their people, and they want to do something for their people. And Americans, when they say they want to come to Africa, they are serious. They want to do something they want to do business with the African nation. And are we ready for them? Let me just borrow some ideas from the Indian president yesterday, because he wants the Americans to go to India. And if you get a chance, he was speaking in Hindi, but, if you go to the news, you can listen to the news. The speech that he gave, and to borrow some words from the brother from Germany, I like his the way he was approaching things, because he was coming from a historical perspective. I mean, he was looking at historical, the way he was giving all the ideas, and he wants to go to the rural areas to try to help the rural area. But the Indian president, if you listen to his speech, he's challenging his people. And they want the Americans. They want American business real, real bad. So he was challenging his people. So now I just want to say, as Zambian, you mentioning about the 40% of Southern African water, it's in Zambia, all the resources we have in Zambia. So it's up to the Zambian government or the government leaders to go back to the colonial times. And the way we are surviving right now, it's because the infrastructure that the colonial people left there, the government, the central government, the way we do things. Even Zimbabwe, it's a sad story right now. What things? This is my two cents thing I'm putting in for us to try to attract Americans and to see that Americans are ready, and for us to pick up and do something. Even Zimbabwe is going through what they are going right now. They will survive after Mugabe leaves because of the infrastructure that the colonial people left. If you look at other African countries, the way they're struggling, because we were blessed. I mean, it's not, I don't know if I should say blessing or what, and when you're dealing with historical, because I don't want to step on other people's toes and other people's bring up air trades and stuff like that, when we look at other African countries, the colonials, they were said that we were the big, we were the strongest colonies in Africa. So some of the things that we are up to now, we are surviving, is because of the way they left the government surviving.
Yes.
So when we talk about the historical thing, let's bring that up and then see, because if you go to the mines, if you visit the mines, it's a very disturbing situation that the equipment that were left and why they were destroying the clubs. Some of us who grew up in the 70s, we enjoy the... So let's go back and see if we can pick up from there. Let's put this historical and say, yes, we can do it if we go back. Coca-Cola Company, they're still in South Africa, and the EEG, they were still in South Africa. It's because of the leadership. And when there was no leadership in Africa, they left. But if we can copy from the historical, thing, even the Ferguson thing you are coming out to Roger, it's a very disturbing thing, to see the leaders, the way they are letting their people, not informing the people and things like that. When happen, then it makes all of us look bad because of the leaders, So thank you for the discussion, Roger, and because of time, so I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Roger.
I wish I could add just a little bit, but I guess we have no time.
Go ahead, then I'll let Titus come in, Zebron, very, very quickly, and then we go to Missouri, see what is happening there. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, quickly. I just wanted to know that, just on what my brother said, even when it comes to, like, investment, Zambia actually has, like, a very good advantage when it comes to attracting leaders. You know what I'm saying? Because, one, our political system is very stable. Although we may have noise here and there, we've never had any civil war that could threaten any investment in Zambia. Two, Zambia has the one of the lowest densely populated places. That means we have enough land, because Zambia, right now Zambia has a population of less than 15 million people, you know, and if you look at Malawi, which is like almost quarter size of Zambia, has bigger population. If you look at Kenya, that has pretty much like the size of Zambia, has a population of about 45 million people. So we have like less people, so, you know, we have enough less people, enough for our economy to feed them. And if you look at other economies like Botswana, you know, Botswana doesn't have like as resources as Zambia has. So we have at least copper that we can depend on. If you look at other countries, they don't even have like any, you know, minerals or something that they can really depend on. You know, I was going to give an example of countries like Ethiopia. They were never colonized, so they don't have any people that came into their country to build anything for them or something. But if you look at their highways, their downtowns and everything, it's much more developed than ours, and yet they have nothing. They have no any minerals or something. So it's just like we just need to change our mindset. We really have to sit down. If we're electing our leaders, are we electing leaders that have the picture of Zambia in the 60s, in the 70s, way back? We just keep recycling the leaders. Okay, well, this one was an MP in the Minister of Health. Now he's going to foreign. This one now is going to go to foreign affairs. He's going to go to now to commerce. We just keep recycling old ideas that just go in the parliament, sit down, get checks, go to this ministry, sit down, permanent secretary, switch to this time. Now he's going to be the MP. Now he's going to be the president of this party. So we still have that old mindset. So we either have to wait for that old mindset to die out, or we can start putting new leaders who have seen the outside of Zambia and have seen the ideas and how they can come here and then develop, change a few things, and try to keep up with the changing world. Because the world is changing so fast that even other African countries that are in Africa, they're changing with the world. And then the competition is going to be much harder as we move forward than it is right now. So just you know, but we have to change our mindset and just, like, really, really, really be serious with this. Like, we have to be serious if we have to change this. Because we pretty much, like, forecast, even us as citizens, we have to voice out our voices, because we can't just be saying, like, oh, this government is bad, SATA must go. Who is coming in? HH. Oh, who is coming in? Mumba. Okay, that's our focus. No, before the elections, see what your MP can do for you. See what your councillor can do for you. Voice out. Say, no, we need the roads here, the market here, the whatever. So it starts with from the bottom level going up, because you cannot have the president change the entire Zambia in one. Because that guy doesn't, he just travels to Lusaka or India, comes back to Lusaka. He never goes to any rural development area. So he doesn't see what's going on there. But it has to start with the citizens to start voicing out, we need this. Look at our roads. We have to start making some kind of noise so that something should be done. You know what I'm saying? But if we just sit there and wait for investors to come and build roads, to come and build whatever, when we're paying so much, our taxes is high. And then we're paying so much money in taxes, and all the money in taxes is going to buy elections. That's just one thing that has really been killing Zambia right now, is like buy elections after buy elections after buy elections. So much money is being spent there that you'd see how much money, probably like 80% of our budget is maybe going to buy elections, because, you know, so much campaigns, funds, cars, and everything. So it's, you know.
Well said.
You know, so.
Well said. And, I don't know if the advisory board, Dr. Patrick, can help. You know, politics is all another game. I've seen Republicans do very weird things in the United States just because of politics. Something they agreed on last week, as long as Obama also agrees with it, that thing they don't like it anymore. That beef where Republicans in the United States cannot agree on anything the president proposes. Probably this is where we are, even as Africans. We find ourselves... we have to fight politics, Dr. Patrick. We have to fight politics.
Remember,
yeah, go ahead, Dr. Patrick.
Remember, that's why I said we start small. And when we start small, we start with a mayor. a mayor that has engaged already in New Mexico. He has engaged already with U.S. companies, and he has opened the door to engage with Zambia Blog Talk Radio. So I'm looking at, you start small. You show that finances can be acquired, and from there you can expand, because everyone loves a success story. And when they look at Siavonga and they say, well, this is excellent. There's a partnership going. You will find it's like the old movie. You build it and they will come. You build this advisory partnership in Zambia coming out, and it must be emanating out of. It must be a buy-in. Mm-hmm. It must be emanating out of. And then you can build roads. You can build hospitals. You can build schools. All of this you can build. And then you'll be in a position to say, you want to come into my district, then therefore this is what you'll have to include in your program in order to come into my district. This,
you know,
can be done.
Well said.
You know, Roger.
Let me just, Bianchi, just before you go, let me just say a little bit about history and colonialism. The second part of my tribute to KK and Mama Betty will be coming out shortly, and I'll send that on to you, Roger, so you can forward it out to the listening audience and whomever you deem appropriate. But colonialism is something that one should not want to return to get examples from. And I'll leave it there, and more will be said later on, but it's in the history piece that I wrote. Okay, Bianchi, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, you know, going to say is that for the best of me, I don't see what is so difficult about building something. I really don't. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you.
Why is it so difficult
to
build something?
I'll tell you, Bianchi, what is difficult about building something. I just came back from Zambia. One of the things I think the problem we have back home, unlike here, is accountability. The money is there. The money is there. But
yes.
The chief is
yes.
given some money by the mining company. He is comfortable. He's given a cell phone, he's given a satellite, he cannot even speak for his people. It ends there. Our own people, Dr. Patrick is saying millennium, what did he say, compact?
Yes, millennium compact.
These are
compact.
Billions of dollars which are being given.
What do you
want
to build, Roger? You want to build a chicken farm,
then,
a milk farm? Let's see the plans and let's build it.
And what is his name here? Brother Zebron is saying, instead of the millennium money going into the roads, it goes to by election. And we, the people, don't account them. Thank you to Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot protest in a violent way in Zambia. It's a peaceful country, will always be. But things are changing. And there's a lot of development. Even the Zambia you left some 5 years ago is not the Zambia you're going to find now. There's a lot of roads which are coming, but we have a lot of work to do. When I see
how the money for these roads, where are they coming from? Is this government money? If you and I, Mr. Patrick, and 12 other people came up with a plan to build something, let's build it. Just build it.
Okay, I'm going to, you're going to go with me, Bianchi. You saw my library, which I've put on there. That library is going to be in District Kasempa. Let's do it.
Roger.
Let's go to Missouri. Let's go. It's very interesting.
Roger.
Thank you so much,
Roger.
Everyone, for having come today. And I don't want to end like that, but we have to come to an end. Something big has come through here. Advisory board, my American daily contributors here, Dr. Patrick Bianchi, who definitely need you. We may invite some. We want a good mixture of Americans who give us the sense of what happens here in America, and the Zambians, we the Zambians, and the people who are back home. let's look at the advisory board that has a very, very big idea for us to run with. But what is happening now? Let's transition to Ferguson, Missouri. Bianchi, why don't you start? What is the problem? I said in the introduction that we are black people, and if the police people hate us because of our skin color, there is nothing we are going to do about it. So we find ourselves into that position where our brother was killed. What can
well,
we do about
let me,
this
let me,
black and
first,
white?
I'm going to stay on this particular thing because there's a lot of things that lead up to this. But basically what you have is people that want justice. That's all. They ask for justice. You, born in the United States, you are protected by the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, which says that you are entitled to due process. And that due process has to be held, in this particular case, in a court of law. So, police officer has no right to shoot a person that is not posing a threat, to shoot a person that has their arms up, and I believe in a case where the person was on their knees. So that's the whole gist of this demonstration, these protests. Now, myself and no one else, and actually we're not too far from that area. My daughter is about maybe 2 miles from it, 3 miles from it. We do not condone criminality, but nor do we condone for a person who's supposed to bring criminals and put them in custody to act as judge and executioner at the scene. Also, when you have these sort of things, it opens the doors for others who have criminal intent to mix in and carry out what it is that they got to carry out. Sort of like a Boko Haram. So, in simple, that's what it's all about. And then another thing is that you have these old communities that was one time 100% white. You have black segments of the black socioeconomic population is being pushed into these communities because of other devious things that go on, which I don't even want to talk about. Now they find themselves in this community, whereas you have agencies like the police that have been longstanding, where they continue to want to hold on to those agencies. They want them to be 100% white. If you got a 70% black community, well, I say that government, municipal government operations and agencies should reflect the population that it serves. Well, people don't want to give that up. And then when you have those that's being brought from the outside into a municipal a police force, they don't have the same sensitivity with the people that they're now working with. Matter of fact, they see them different. But disregard all that. The thing is that the people wanted justice because of what happened to the kid. No matter what he had done or she had done, they just want justice.
Well said, Bianchi. Dr. Patrick, you may not go where Bianchi, I think, went. He well elaborated. But I guess my question is, I don't know if you can go into the white man's brain or a white man's skin in as far as the black issue is concerned. What is it that really bothers the black, the white men to behave the way they do when they see a black person?
A loss of power. That's the bottom line. A loss of power. If you grew up in a house that you own the house, and your neighbors own their houses, and then the next week, a black family buys a house and they own a house next to you, and then another black family come and buy another house next to you, and mind you, they're purchasing the house at exorbitant fees, more higher than the white folks that were living in the neighborhood. You become or white individuals becomes frightened and afraid because they've been enculturized with negativism about black people. And then they feel that they are powerless, meaning they do not have a say because now they're outnumbered. I think the best thing, and I'm very hopeful, that the best outcome that will come out of this is that the disenfranchised will now know that it's very important to vote. To vote those individuals out, vote your own school board in, and you will produce individuals as highly educated and well-respected as the black police officer, the captain, that was appointed to handle the security in that environment. He came out of that environment. So there are, and if you listen to the young African-American women and men that were speaking on these talk shows and these TV shows, you will find that their dress belies their intelligence. If you look at them at a picture and you say, oh, my goodness, and then you hear the words coming out their mouth, they are educated, very, very educated. The question is to convert that education not to looking for a job, but also looking for a job and voting. When you vote people into office that should be in office, and you acquire power. That's what the problem is. Who has the power to do this and to do that? That's what I'm hoping that the mobilizers and the civil rights community, as well as the politicians in Ferguson, will now begin to explain how and why it is important to vote. If you want a school board that reflects your pigmentation, you vote them in. If you want a mayor that reflects your pigmentation, you vote them in. If you want police to patrol your neighborhood that reflects your pigmentation, you vote them in. I want them to go out and vote.
And here's another thing, too, real quick, is there some points that came out. First, we want the police chief to resign, because if things go on under Obama's watch that he's criticized for, then this police chief should be resigned because things went on under his watch. And the fact that he has a 53 out of 53 police officers, only three of them is black, in a 70% black population city. Another point, the fire department should reflect the people that it's serving. My grandson cannot go to Cape Girardeau. My grandson cannot go to Perryville. My grandson cannot go to Sullivan and Catawissa to get a firefighter's job in an all-white community. So why is it that their sons and daughters can come into my community and maintain those jobs where my grandson cannot even get a firefighter's job in his own community? That has to stop. Another point. The city workforce, the public works, has the workers on the public works that pick up the trash, that maintains the parks, that takes care of the landscape and so on, has to reflect the people that it represents, that it serves. We cannot go to other establishments that's ran by immigrants and demand to them that we want, and when it is the things that we're paying for in our tax dollars, we're not represented in the expenditures of tax dollars. The same thing goes on in Zambia. If GE comes to Zambia, they want to bring their own workforce. They want to use their own workforce to maintain whatever it is that they build. They want to be able to provide the parts for whatever it is that they build in Zambia. It's the same mentality. If it don't stop in the United States, how can we ask for it to stop in Zambia?
And how do you stop it? You vote. You vote.
You vote. You vote.
Dr.
Patrick, I think I get really your point. And this is what our community need really to focus on. My thinking, I was looking at this, and I'm saying to myself, one of the systematic things that the Republicans are doing so well, they're taking money away from education. They're taking money away from programs which benefit mostly the poor to educate the poor. And by doing so, they are continuing that perpetual,
Roger,
poverty.
it has nothing to do with Republican and Democrat. But everything that you can cite that Republican can do, I can cite what Democrats can have done and continue to do also. It's about the power, like Mr. Patrick said. When you start empowering, how do you get rid of corruption in Zambia? You expose many more people to the things that's going on, the operations. If it's within the breast, like you holding a deck of cards tight to your breast, then it's subjected to corruption. But when you expose it out and give more people opportunities, then the corruption will seek its own level.
Let me hear from Zambians what they have to say about this. Dr. Patrick, Dr. Musanji.
The situation in Missouri is a very sad situation. We Zambians who have grown up here have just learned something that we have to recognize that we are black, and the way we deal with the police and or other administrative people has to be very, very calculated. We are all very sad about what happened, and the fact that the policeman who shot this young man, no disciplinary action has been taken against him, it is pathetic. It's just like killing a dog, and the dog dies, and then life goes on. So we are very sad about what has happened, and we hope the situation will be resolved. But for me, I have a son who is who has lived in America since he was 2 months old. What I try to tell my son is to focus his life on education, not to be, if he's involved in a situation, he should not be depicted like now. The story that is coming out is that this young man, he got some cigarettes for $48.
Well, Dr. Patrick, Dr. Musanje, before you go there, I think that's where the police and the white police want us to believe that he was bad. But at the end of the day, he had his hands up. And whether he did anything or whatever he did, he had no right to...
That is where I wanted to go, Roger. Before you go, let me make myself clear. There was no reason for this policeman to shoot this young man, even if he had done what he had done. There's a court of law that could have found him guilty, and instead of him being in the grave right now, he was going to be given some punishment if he really did that. So I just wanted to make that clear that I don't condone the killing.
Yes. Whatever I think, sometimes we can probably say, okay, this one behaved this way, this one behaved this way. But we face these situations. Bianchi is talking about here, Dr. Musanje, you cannot get a job because of your skin color. You know,
nice.
The police people. Yes. Yes, things like that. You can be educated all you want, but these people, you go, you enter their rooms, the best they can offer you is probably to be a janitor. That's the way they see in your eyes. It is unfortunate situation, but all we are asking for is justice, as Bianchi has rightly said here, Dr. Patrick. That's all we are asking for, and we hope all these tricks the police chief is trying to play are not going to take him anywhere. A person has died for no reason. So thank you so much, everyone. For yes, go ahead. Go ahead. We have 2-3 minutes remaining here.
Okay, I'll try to be as brief as I can. My Facebook contacts, of course, I have a good percentage of white friends and a good percentage of a mixture of Africans and African Americans. But sometimes you get an insight when you're seeing the views from the whites, you know. Sometimes I think they forget I'm their friend. But you know, they are also expressing themselves to say black people are very angry, are very angry people. We have a tendency to overreact, or we are high on crime and so on, you know. Prior to this incident, very quickly, there was it was a clip of videos that said in a humorous way, but it shows how quickly black people get angry. You ask them something, of course it's offensive, and they react with violence. This was prior to the killing of the young man. And even then, they were saying, you know, why are black people so angry? Why are black people so quick to react with violence? Now, this is in relation to with the boy being killed and then the Quick Trip being looted and the stores around them also being destroyed. They're trying to say, okay, this was wrong, the police officer was wrong to kill them, but black people should not have reacted that way. I know we're out of time, but what is it on that?
That's why they're so angry at President Obama, because he's not giving them the opportunity to say, oh, it's an angry black president.
No, they're angry at Obama because they sent the Department of Justice in this case. This police officer would never be found guilty with Bob McCullough, who is the county prosecutor. I know that for 40 years of living in that area. Never.
Right. No,
so
I'm
when
speaking,
you have a
I'm
black
speaking,
president, and I agree with you, I just want them to know,
they're
angry with him because he brought in the Department of Justice, the FBI, federal government. When they come in, the local police have to sit down and move to the side.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying the reason why they're upset with him is because President Obama, in the 6 years or the 6 years he's been in office, he's never given them the image that they always want to portray with black people, which is the angry black man.
Yes.
And if you want to know more about that area, go on Google and Google Eleanor Reasonover. Eleanor Reasonover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Back in 1983. And Dell,
can you spell the name for me, please?
Eleanor Reasonover. Reasonover.
Thank you.
Join us next week. We bring another exciting discussion. A lot of things we have learned this way. Zambia is going, is developing. A lot of things are happening in Zambia. Next year when I leave, I go to Zambia, Dr. Patrick Bianchi. Let's make a date. Let's go together. We're going to have a lot of seminars, talk to a lot of leaders in our country. My name is Roger Talie Novotok. Have a lovely weekend, everybody. Until next week. Bye-bye.
For this business you bless me with, will you extend my territory? Lord, I'm not satisfied where I am spiritually. Will you take my prayer life to another level? I wanna know you like never before. Seek your face like never before. I wanna be close to you like never before. Please take me. Nifuna muni nyamule, nifuna muni nyamule, nifuna muni nyamule.